Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. Almost said Mississippi with the Rev. I have no idea. Maybe we need to pray for Mississippi today. Either way, we've taken a long hiatus, and we're back doing the show here, kicking it off with a very great guest this afternoon. We're going to have about 11:30, I guess before the afternoon, depending on what time zone you're in, but Mr. Bob Hazlett, and we're going to have him here, and we're going to talk to him about his book, Think Like Heaven, but he's also going to talk a little bit about himself and let you know what he's doing and what God has been using him on, and we're gonna really do a great show with that, and we're going to go along with that theme today in just a little bit, but just want to just give you an update what's been going on with the ministry here and how we've been reaching out and touching those that need to hear the gospel, and it's been an exciting time for us, and we've really been just positioning ourselves to just be a part of wherever we can really move the gospel and however we can really move it. And I'm excited because I'm seeing different results. I'm having to step back and just kind of understand where God has us at, what God has us to do, because there's so many people out there that need the gospel, and we need to really focus on our gifts, focus on how God positions us, focus on how we can be a blessing to other ministries as well. It's just not about your ministry, my friend. It's also about other ministries and how we can be one of those ministries that's not only a help ministry, not only, you know, something that you can bring to the table for everybody else, but someone that just is excited to be a part of other people's ministries and stuff. So just want to get you excited about that, right? We just got back from New Orleans. We're out at City Church. We went and preached in Denham at the Church of Walker out there, a Christian Fellowship Church of Walker. It was a great time. It was a great time. We've seen some healings, absolutely. We've seen some divine deliverance, absolutely. But most of all, we've seen God's love just fall on the people and touch them. I mean, we can tell you about the healings that we've seen. We had one lady that was 20% left in her vision. We prayed for her, and God healed her eyes. We barely even laid hands on her, and God healed her eyes. I have been spoiled the last few weeks, in a way. I've been waking up and turning on the YouTube and putting A.A. Allen, one of the greatest healing ministers out there at the time in the 60s. He died, I believe, in the 70s or just before the 70s. And he was an amazing, amazing man of God. Miracles happened when A.A. Allen's tent arrived into a city. And I tell you that I'm excited to say that I have just really taken it in, really taken in his teachings and stuff. So every morning I've been waking up and hearing things. And let me tell you a funny thing that's happened since I've been watching this. And it's a little bit not on the subject we're going on, but I'm just going with the Holy Spirit here. I was noticing that the miracles that Alan seen in his YouTube videos, they're really short, just 26 minutes, maybe 5, 10, maybe 10 minutes of preaching, if that, maybe 15. And the things that I seen on there, there was this little boy, and they named him Monkey Boy because his nose and his eyes were all shaped, literally deformed like a monkey, and his legs would wrap around. They would wrap around him like a little monkey, and he had no life in those limbs. And then I seen them pray, and he miraculously was able to stand and take a step, and it was a miracle. Amen? It was. I mean, it was a healing, but it just to see life brought to those limbs. Now, I noticed that healing was very similar to a healing that happened with our ministry in Africa. And when we were praying for a little boy out there that had no legs, he had legs, forgive me. He had no feeling in his legs, and his legs were limp. I mean, they looked like a deflated balloon, if you want us to actually try and describe them even better to you. And it was amazing to see that this little boy just loved the Lord, even though he couldn't move his legs. And his mother was crying, and Bishop Mike's the one that found him in the crowd, brought him on stage. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we spoke life into those legs. And I tell you what, the same healer that was with Alan is the same healer that was touching it. We never claim to be healers. Amen. It's God that does the healing. It's God that does the life-changing results. We just present the gospel and step out in faith, and we're instruments in him, and we have gifts of healing, but we are not the healing. God is the healing. Jesus is the healing. And we've seen that happen. Well, that was an amazing thing. In fact, he started walking like Bambi within the next 6 months when I came back to visit. I got a scolding from the principal saying that he was in trouble at her school, and she scolded me playfully, and she said because all he wanted to do was run. Amen. Before he couldn't even feel him, then he started to walk, and now all he does is run between classes. So when I seen that, when I heard those things and those testimonies on A. Allen's videos, I started recognizing some other things, and that was this. There was a lady, of course, there was a man that was 20% left in his vision, and he was healed. This last trip to Denham, lady 20% left in her vision and healed. I'm telling you, God is in the healing business, and he's in the miracle working business, and it's something that I've noticed with several miracles that happened in the YouTube things that I've been watching of Alan, and even reading of Jack Cole and John Lake and Smith Wigglesworth. I've seen those healings happen in our events in the last 5 years. And really the last 3 years where it's really amped up a lot and really just start taking off. And I'm just saying in my spirit that something is happening out there. It's not the man. It is God. And he is wanting to touch people miraculously. He's wanting to change their lives. He's wanting to do things for them which they thought were impossible. It isn't impossible with God. God is able to do it. Able to do it every day, every time. And just for me to plug my book coming out, Igniter of Faith, you can go to Whitaker House and go to the landing page, and you'll see a beautiful picture of it. It's awesome. Or you can type it on Amazon and put Igniter of Faith, or type my name, David Yanez, as an author. You'll be able to see my book on Amazon, pre-selling it right now. And I tell you what, I'm getting excited every time I'm going through it right now. I'm trying to finish in the editing. It's going to be available in October 2015, this year, and I'm still working on the editing. So... But I'll tell you what's happening. I'll tell you what's happening. In the last 6 months, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. Yeah, 8 months. Last 8 months, I have been in a deep study of the greatest healing ministers that we've ever seen on this planet. It started with the God's General series by Robert Learden, available at Whitaker House. And I tell you what, it just went from there. I got that book, read it from I've read all of them, but the one, The Healing Evangelist, came out, and that really sparked a fire in my heart to study more on these men. So I bought other books, Wigglesworth, his best healing book, and then also, who was it, John Lake, and Jack Cole, Oral Roberts, and I have all the A. Allen books already, and Shambach books already, so I went and re-looked into those. And then right now, I'm on my last one for now. And it's called T.O. Osborne's Healing the Sick. And I tell you what, just the first three chapters of Healing the Sick just threw me in a deep praise for God. Just the knowledge that T.O. Osborne had on healing, and the absolute that God heals you because his word said so. And I was able to look at that. And thinking of today's subject that we're going to talk about, the mind of God, we're going to talk with that, Thinking Like Heaven, with Bob Hazlett. I just thought, these men of God, the ones I mentioned, past generals of healing, of great anointing, had an understanding that their minds were like God in a way. They could understand it. They put their minds on heavenly things. And they believed the scripture that said, whatever can happen in heaven will happen on earth. Whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. And I tell you, It's going to be a great subject. I'm excited for this half-hour guest that we're going to have, Mr. Bob Hazlett. And I hope I'm not hacking his name up. I'll ask him before I get him on the air. Am I hacking your name up? I always ask my guests that. It's just part of what we do. But hey, let's do a quick prayer. We need to pray for three things. And also, just if you have any requests as well, we'll pray for you as well. Just outspoken to you there. And let's tell you how we're going to do this. If you're listening on Midwatch with the Rev, and I have to turn this on, so give me a second. If you're listening on Rev Media TV, we have a chat window there, and I'm going to have to log in real quick so I can moderate it. This is really cool. It's like having your own Twitter or Facebook platform. Anyway, I'm typing right now. Listen, if you go to RevMediaTV.com/radio/midwatch-with-the-rev, or just go to featured radio stations on the homepage. You'll see Midwatch with the Rev. We have a chat window there, And if you type in your prayer request, we not only will I get to pray for it, but those that are listening will be able to pray for it as well and watch and see it there. So I want to encourage you. I am going to put prayer line is open. Prayer chat is open. So we are going to open that window for about 5 minutes. We're going to pray for these things, for three things. Baltimore, which is having riots right now. We need to pray God just calm that down. We're seeing too much of this uprisings and crazy, this rebellion, because that's what it is. It's a rebellious spirit. We're seeing so much of this lately that it is something we got to pray. As a nation, as believers, we need to pray. We need to pray and believe God will remove this spirit. And then also we need to pray for New Orleans. They had such a hard rain the other day and wind storms. And I don't know if you've seen on YouTube. My son kept showing me that yesterday. And that was the train falling from the railing on top of the elevated section. And he's like, look at this, Dad. Look at this, Dad. He kept coming back and showing me the same video. You know, kids get all excited about things. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm thinking, goodness gracious, anyone killed? He's thinking how cool it looked. Difference. No, he's 17. What do you expect? Anyway, and then we also need to pray for Nepal. 4,400 with the last count that I seen. There may be a higher count since then that have been confirmed dead in this horrible earthquake that happened. And then they had some other tremors that caused other problems. Pray for God to use the people that are going out there. I'm sure there's plenty of people going out there to bring support, to bring food, bring clothing, bring shelters to them. Different nations. I think it was over 30 nations that are already sending support, U.S. being one of the biggest contributors, as always. God bless America. And I think that that we need to pray also for those that are going that have the Word of God in them, that they're able to pray for those that the doctors can't help and believe God to miraculously heal them. I don't think it's impossible for God to do that in a time of crisis. Amen? I believe God does more miracles in a time of crisis than he does just in the regular times, because he's able to show that he is God, and he's able to know the emergencies that are needed. So we're going to pray for that in just a minute. We're just open up the prayer lines, and prayer chat is open. If anyone is listening there, they can jump on there and pray with us as well. But after the 6 months of just studying and being a part of just these men's mind, that what they believed and what they stood for in faith, it just really, really opened my eyes to more healing things and more things that we're doing in faith, more things that we're changing, and more things that we're putting together. That I even put a little halt in a way to all the activities that we're doing, because I want to get it lined up with what God wants us to do. It is easy to get busy for the gospel. It is easy to do anything that you do, whether it's work, whether it's ministry work, whether it's secular work, whether it's being at home, whether it's being a parent, whether it's being a father, whether it's going to take care of your family. Anything we can do keeps us busy. Busy, 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 busy. It does. It keeps us busy, and we can't, you know, we can't even... I would say we can't even imagine how much time all that takes. But then are we with God? Are we with God on everything that we do? Are our goals, is our activities lined up with God's plan? It's easy to get busy in anything that we do, but we need to line ourselves up with what God has for us. We need to line ourselves up with what God has for us for this day, for this world. Now, I'm not saying to go and look in your closet and say, oh, Lord, what color shirt am I going to wear? No, I don't believe in that. I don't believe that. Now, parents, sometimes God will tell you to wear something. I don't know. He's never been the fashion God to me. So, and if you've seen my outfits, you would understand. Oh, this guy needs some fashion help. Actually, my son is doing that. But I would say this, that God wants us to seek him daily and know the will of God. Know what he wants us to have. To think like heaven wants us to think. To be a part of what God wants us to be a part of. I believe that even though our activities have slowed down a little, we haven't taken a mission trip within this last year. We haven't recorded. And we've recorded many shows, but we haven't broadcast a lot of shows on the TV. But we have a lot of footage. We have it. And what is the other thing we haven't done? We've done healing services, but we only go places where they ask us to instead of calling places and asking to come. I'd much rather be in the will of God and be in the place that God wants me to be in versus being in the place where people want me to be in. Come on, can you understand what I'm saying? I much rather be in the place where God wants me to be in than be in a place where people want me. Because God's will always have the anointing on it. God's will always have provision on it. God's will always have the things that we need. We will always be able to do God's will. We know when we're in God's will, that God's will always, always get done. We know we're in God's will, that God's will is blessed. That you're blessed coming in and you're blessed coming out. I tell you, God's will be safer in God's will than any other place than you would be in the earth. Now I'm telling you this out of experience, because I've gone on mission trips that wasn't the will of God, but were a good idea. I've gone and preached places that weren't the God's will, but hey, doesn't God want everybody to be healed? And I flew out to a city, and I barely got to the airport without craziness happened. I tell you, there's places you can be, people you can see, things you can do. But unless you have God's mind on this, and you know that God has the things that you need to have ready for you, then you can be hurting yourself and hurting your ministry more than you think. How many of us can say, thank God for grace? Thank God for grace. Thank God that we don't have to sit there and wonder if we're forgiven if we make a mistake. Praise God for grace. Praise God for grace that the things that we end up doing prematurely, that God is able to still save it, still fix it, still make it work. Thank God that not all our plans worked out. Amen? Thank God that not all our ideas happened. Thank God that when we follow Him, He is able to bless us exceedingly and abundantly. Amen? Than we could ever imagine. I tell you, being at City Church in New Orleans, dinner was awesome. Pastor Jack and the church, they're great people. Enjoyed it. Seen some great things happen. Seeing backs healed. Seeing eyes healed. Praise God. Seeing just God move and healing necks and stuff like that. Amazing. I don't never short sight what God has done. I don't exaggerate it either. God doesn't need no exaggeration. You take the blessing completely out of it when you exaggerate it. But when you just allow God to testify a true testimony of healing and miracles, that's when it's just exciting to know that He is God. I don't ever say, take it for granted that a blind eye opens or a deaf ear opens. We had 24 blind people in India. Pray for all of them instantly. The whole line was healed except for one person. It was actually 25 blind people, 24 got healed. So I'm telling you, God is able to do miraculous things. And then we went to City Church again. And I keep mentioning City Church. That's an amazing ministry. If you ever have a chance, visit them if you're in New Orleans, City Church. And I tell you, they are just really strong in faith, really strong in knowing what God is doing. And I tell you what, I have seen more things happen by watching these guys just move and operate in young people than I've seen in a long time. I was only there for a short time. I tell you, when I left Denham Springs, I went about 90 miles, 92 miles is New Orleans. So I took the 55 that way or 51, don't remember. It's 50-something. Took that. The minute I left my hotel, I'm filling out the gas. I'm filling up gas and left the hotel. And I'm looking at the clouds and they're getting darker. By the time I get in the car and drive off, it's starting to rain already. By the time I get to the bridge, it's raining so hard I cannot see in front of me. And it storms all the way, all the way, all the way. Till I get to the frontage road to get to where I need to go. So I'm driving a good hour and a half in the rain, storming, can't see in front of me hardly, have to go a little bit slower, but still got there on time. God is not held back from distance and time. Amen. Got to my appointment when I said I would. And right when I pulled into the driveway, I called my friend. He said, drive to the canopy so we can get all your stuff out from this rain. So as soon as I started driving the canopy and I was with my friend, every droplet stopped. No more rain. In fact, the last 600 feet on the front of George was starting to get flooded. And I'm like, good Lord, I'm not going to make it. We're going to push this through. We're going to push this through. We're going to make it, Lord. We're going to push this through. And I'm driving as fast as I can in the center of the lane, dodging cars. And as soon as I turn in, it's a little more of a uphill, has elevation to it. and in the driveway, and then I knew I was safe. I just breathed, and shortly after talking to my friend and driving to the canopy, the water stops. It stopped raining. I was like, oh, Lord, something good is here. And Hal Schambach used to say, something good's about to happen. And I have to do it in Schambach's voice, but my throat is off today. In fact, I've been off the last week since I got back from City Church. But let me tell you this. Amazing place. Imagine a place where just young people are in love with God. The whole church, probably about 1,000 that are in regular attendance at the church service, pray more than that. They have 6,000 members, but 1,000 for sure fills up that place. And they have kids, and I call them kids, I mean from 17, 18, all the way up to 27, 32. These guys are just in love with God. Everybody in that church got saved inside that church. That's a testimony. They have a Bible college. They have a media institute that alongside the Bible college, that if you finish this media institute, you will actually be able to have a degree and go anywhere you want to work for any major studio. I went into their had a tour of the place. Pastor Owen McManus Jr. took me on the tour, and I tell you what, it was amazing looking at their studio. Everything they had in their studio was everything I've been beyond what I was praying for. And I'm looking at this. I haven't seen more equipment for Mac at the Mac stores when you go. Just God uses them. And everyone's trained on different levels. Beginning level, learning how to use the production tools. To the end level, actually making movies. They actually put 3 films out already. And they're putting a 4th one out next. And I tell you what, it's an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. To see God move in these young people. It instilled in my vision things that I've wanted to do. Things that I want to do. Young people that I want to train and move forward. It's not great just being on your own preaching and leaving just your legacy. How about you build other people so they can have a legacy? Seeing this just really blessed my heart. It really blessed how I look at ministry. And I've taken some time now and just really pondering. I love to sit and ponder. Gerald Davis, my good friend, he really instilled it in my spirit, and that is pondering. How do you ponder? How do you sit in front of God and ponder on the will? Ponder on what's coming up. I made that a practice in my life, and my life has never been the same. Now I was praying for some high back wing chairs for my study, and I wanted a recliner, so I couldn't decide on the two. Well, the person I bought these from on, I believe it was Kingwood Yard Sales, I went over there and I bought it from them. And the extra benefit was that they were not only beautiful high back wing chairs, but they reclined. I was like, oh, I'll take them. Here's the money. I'll take them both with them. Drove them home. I tell you, I sit in those chairs. One of the chairs is mine. The other one I give to the kids. I say, y'all can't sit on mine. This is mine. Leave mine alone because I don't want y'all to be jumping around and break mine. And not that my kids jump on everything, but just, you know. I sit in there. I sit there and I hear the word of God. I read it or I listen to it or I sit there and ponder on a scripture. I read books there. I study. I sit with God. I pray there. I think on these things. Think on these things. Whatsoever is holy, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure. Those things. Think on these things. And I make sure that I put God first. Every morning, at night. And it's a discipline that you have to put together. It's not something that I can say that I do regularly, 100%, but I'm getting there. And you will not believe. Billy Graham said this on, I think he was on TBN. And they asked him, you know, Pastor Bishop Billy or whatever they call, I don't know what they call him. Dr. Graham, probably. They said, Dr. Graham, if you can change some things, what would you change in the last years that you could have done more? And he just said with a simple, loving voice, with a crying heart, that I could read more of the Bible and spend more time with Him. That I could read more of the Bible and spend time with Him. I tell you, my friends, it's important for us to spend time with God. It's important for us to be part of what God has. No other thing on earth should be more important than getting our minds right, getting our spirits right, and changing things for the Lord. The best place to get it is in the morning, in the spirit. The best place to get in time with God. Some of us don't have time in the morning. Well, you have night. And I'm not saying anything to put any guilt on anyone. But I'm just saying that you have to be able to put God first. This morning I was reading scriptures, and I don't remember exactly where I was at. Maybe my phone has my last search history on it. Oh, and I just feel led. I'm going to give this to you. We're going to pray in a minute, then we're going to go to break. And I'll tell you what. Let me see. My Bible app. Hey, I'm a one-man show here, but I have the Father in my heart, and we just do what we have to do. And I tell you what. This is the scripture in Exodus. Exodus 34:14. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. My spirit just told me this morning when I was getting ready and before I even turn on Brother A. Allen on YouTube, and I've already gone through so many of them, but I hadn't got everything I wanted from them yet. So, because I'm just listening to them as I'm getting ready in the morning or watching them. And God really spoke in my spirit, just said, I won't share you with nothing and no one. Not my time. And I think that was powerful. And I think that's for someone out there right now. Let's pray. Father, we ask for you to help the residents, the government, the police in Baltimore right now, Father, in the outskirts of Baltimore, wherever this is happening, Father, that the riots will stop and cease. God, that you will change these things that are happening. Father, we believe that you have your will, and we pray that you give these safety, courage, Father, and Father, give them just the wisdom to get this solved. Father, we pray for New Orleans and those people out there that have been gone through this flooding and rain and the power outages, that you will bless them and take care of them. Take care of my friends, Pastor Owens, Jr., Sr., McManus, Darren McManus, and Cindy as well. Father, to bless them, Father, and Tammy, God, that you will take care of them out there. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray for Nepal, 4400, God. We pray that you would just bless and touch, Father, the people that are going through this strife, the people that have lost, Father, and the people that are just trying to get through the day. We pray that you protect and preserve and do miraculous healings and supernatural things for them. Father, bring salvation in the hearts of many. Father, we believe this in Jesus' name. We just believe it and pray it, and we understand that you are our God, and we love you. And we'll be right back with Mr. Bob Haslett.
Sports often takes a look into the hook and bullet sports world and the humor that goes with them. A Sunday school teacher asked Johnny, "Do you believe Noah did a lot of fishing when he was on the ark?" "No way, Jose," he said. "He only had two worms." You know, fishing men are much alike. They both get in trouble when they open their mouth. Yet it was the Lord who said to all of us, "Be ye fishers of men, because everyone is going to have to live someplace forever." And remember, many of Christ's disciples were fishermen. Something to think about, okay, as we go about this day. Now, for more fish stories, go to asecondlookatsports.org. This is Dwight Allen, your sports chaplain of the year, for a 60-second look at sports.
Is your teenager easily bored? Do activities that used to bring him pleasure no longer delight him? Does your teen often appear to be lethargic or even depressed? Hi, I'm Trace Embry with a tip from Shepherd's Hill Farm. There's a good chance your teen is experiencing a condition known as anhedonia. Anhedonia is not ADD, ADHD, or depression, although the symptoms are very often mistaken as such. Anhedonia is a destruction of the pleasure center in the brain, which often comes as a result of today's unbridled multitasking on any number of electronic gadgets and other entertainment vehicles. Unfortunately, medication instead of moderation is being given to our kids as a quick fix for the symptoms. The good news is that the Pleasure Center can rebuild itself, but you as a parent are going to have to be proactive.
Learn more about this topic at shfteens.org. Shepherd's Hill Farm is here to serve hurting families with teens in crisis. If you have a teenager with behavioral issues, we can help. Contact us at shfteens.org.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Today's girls face many pressures in today's world, and the technology has taken it to a whole new level. Meet Brent, Amber, Morgan, Maya, Jamie, and Alex, six extraordinary girls from Indiana who created the todaysgirls.com website. Peek into their daily chats about plans, problems, boys, classes, parents, the swim team, and a million of real-life issues heading their way at cyberspeed. It takes faith in each other and God to face today's challenges with laughter, tears, and a lot of fun. Todaysgirls.com. Real girls, real faith. I'm Terry Squires, creator of the Todaysgirls.com series, and won't you join me today to impact the lives of teen girls? And let's reach them together at www.todaysgirls.com.
Could a virus make you fat? A new study suggests that being overweight might not be all your fault after all. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more in just a moment.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Think twice before blaming yourself or someone else for being overweight. A new study suggests a common childhood virus could be the culprit. Researchers found that children exposed to adenovirus 36, an infection that causes short-term gastrointestinal and respiratory symptoms, weighed an average of 52 pounds more than children who were never infected. Researchers believe this fat virus increases the body's fat cells and makes it harder for the body to break down mature fat cells later. The result is that people affected by the virus store more fat overall. So go easy on the next overweight person you see. Diet and exercise may not work as well for them as they do for you. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
A second look at sports often takes a look into the hook and bullet sports world and the humor that goes with them. A Sunday school teacher asked Johnny, "Do you believe Noah did a lot of fishing when he was on the ark?" "No way, Jose," he said. "You only had two worms." You know, fishing men are much alike. They both get in trouble when they open their mouth. Yet it was the Lord who said to all of us, "Be ye fishers of men, because everyone is going to have to live someplace forever." And remember, many of Christ's disciples were fishermen. Something to think about, okay, as we go about this day. Now, for more fish stories, go to asecondlookatsports.org. This is Dwight Allen, your sports chaplain of the year, for a 60-second look at sports.
I hear many youth experts talking about the importance of giving our teenagers more freedoms to spread their wings and discover their place in the world. What I don't hear much of are the contingencies that ought to be in place before these freedoms are allowed to be enjoyed. Hi, I'm Trey Sembry with a Heads Up from Shepherd's Hill Farm. Why would I carte blanche give my teenager certain liberties simply because he's turned a certain chronological age? Parents need to determine if Junior's emotional and spiritual maturity are up to snuff to the freedoms his chronological maturity are expected to bring him. If not, parents need to reassess those freedoms. If Junior hasn't yet proved he can exercise self-restraint with a short leash, there's no reason to believe he won't hang himself with a long one. Slowly feed him more rope as he responsibly handles the rope he's already been given.
Shepherd's Hill Farm is a Christ-centered, biblically-based outdoor therapeutic residency program and school for troubled teens. If your teen is heading down the wrong path, we can help. Contact Shepherd's Hill online at shfteens.org.
Could a virus make you fat? A new study suggests that being overweight might not be all your fault after all. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more in just a moment.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy, but it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and we have Mr. Bob Hazlett on the phone. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, David. Great to be with you this morning.
Hey, man. We're excited to have you. I have to say, I hadn't finished your book because I've been in a long study on some healing evangelists. And as soon as I finish that, yours is the next one.
Awesome. That's great to hear.
We want to just let everybody know a little bit about yourself. And I apologize for I've been hacking up your name the last half hour. But I won't tell you how I've been pronouncing it. But anyway, we're glad to have you on the air with us. And just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a full-time minister. I was a pastor for 15 years. And for the last 15 years, I've been traveling full-time, equipping the church in spiritual gifts. I work with church networks, national networks, regional networks of churches. And my passion is to raise up a generation that hears God's voice and so that they can be God's voice to the culture.
That's amazing. Just tell us a little bit about some of the response you've been getting back from your new book, Think Like Heaven.
Well, we've been getting great response. You know, I've been teaching people spiritual gifts for the last 15 years. As I said, I have online school where we've trained thousands of people from 15 different countries. And so we have a great record of seeing people learning to hear God's voice. And so after 15 years of teaching people to hear God's voice, I thought, what can I teach people next? Well, Jesus said, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. So if we want to know why God says what he says, we have to know what God's thinking. So that's why I created this resource called Think Like Heaven, to understand that we can actually learn to think like God. He says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. As high as the heavens are from the earth, my thoughts are from your thoughts. So that's not just a condemnation that we're not thinking right. It's actually an invitation to think better.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, has it been a hard concept to give people as far as letting them know that they can have higher thoughts?
Actually, I don't think it's a hard concept. I think it just requires a change in our thinking, because I think we're actually having thoughts from God all the time. We're just not realizing it. You know, the Bible says that we should cast away vain imagination and take captive every thought. And as Christians, we might know that scripture, but we put that into practice in a way that both of those things are negative things. We got to cast away vain imaginations, and then we got to take captive every thought. But I actually think the second half of that is positive. There are thoughts that are coming from God that we have to learn to capture them. And when we learn to think like God, there's actually solutions to problems that we have. There's resources available to us that weren't there for us before. And if we see the way that God created the world, he created the world with his words, but he actually was thinking something when he created. And Ephesians 1 says he was actually thinking about us. He chose us before the foundation of the world, which means he thought about us and he spoke us into existence. So when we learn how God thinks, we can actually learn to think like him and receive his thoughts.
That is very amazing. That is very amazing. So tell everybody what some of the benefits are of thinking like heaven.
Well, you know, the benefits are obviously first the relationship with God, because everything God does is relational. He wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants to communicate with us. So when I start to think like God, I actually learn what God thinks about me. I actually learn to think better about him. So then I realize God's not angry with me any longer. 2 Corinthians 5 tells me he doesn't count my sin against me, so he's not mad at me. So whenever I learn to think like him, I realize his thoughts for me are good, they're kind, they're pure. In fact, it says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I have for you. It's thoughts to give you a future and a hope. So when I learn to think like God, I learn to think what he thinks about me, but I learn about him as well. And then, of course, there's other practical things that I live my everyday life in, and I can learn to think like him. You know that scientists tell us 30 to 50% of our waking hours are spent daydreaming, and I happen to think some of those daydreaming thoughts are actually thoughts from God. In fact, the guy who invented Post-it notes invented them while he had a daydreaming thought in church. So there's both a relational and a practical side to thinking like God.
Mm. Yeah, that is true. I think I daydream a lot, so hopefully most of those thoughts are from thoughts of the Lord putting that in there. Now, I've been studying these ministers over the last 6 or 8 months from John Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, Jack Coe, and I learned just from them that they a lot of them thought like God, and just the things that they did. Thinking like God's going to give us a bit more creativity, isn't it, as well?
Well, it does, and if you look at healing ministers, a lot of them operated in extreme words of knowledge, and they knew things about people's lives, they knew their sicknesses, you know, people like A.A. Allen, people like Jack Coe, people like William Branham, who could actually look at people and you know, see them from God's perspective and then say what God wanted to do. And we can actually do that today, now. We can look at people and we can say, yeah, God wants to heal this in your life. That happened to me last week when I was in a meeting. There was a young lady just worshiping the Lord, and I had an impression for her that she had lost her joy of singing. And I said, God's going to give you back your joy of singing. And then I heard myself say, He's going to heal your joints. He's going to heal your digestive system. He's even going to heal something in your internal organ that's been off since you were a little girl. And in that moment, that word, that thought, adjusted her thinking about herself, because she, as a little girl, used to love to sing, but because of critical things that happened in her life, she stopped singing, and all these sicknesses started to come into her life. But in that moment, those words came. They brought healing to her. She wrote me a note later, and she sent it to me. She said her knee was healed of a long-term injury. Her digestive system was healed of celiac disease, and she was healed of a 3-year bout with endometriosis, and the doctor said she would require surgery. And all that came from a thought from God, who then release His word to bring healing, because He says, I send my word and I heal you. So I think there's powerful aspects to having God's thoughts and God's word. And I think you're right. Those healing evangelists that you're studying learned how to get the mind of Christ. And when they did, they released the power of Christ through their ministries.
I love what you have on your website. It's under the Future You University. We are raising up prophetic voices for every culture to go to every sector of society. That's powerful. Tell us about that quote that you
put. Well, I love it. My website is just my name, bobhazlett.org, H-A-Z-L-E-T-T, bobhazlett.org. And, you know, I've been traveling around for many years, around 250 days out of the year on the road, equipping, training people, doing crusades, doing conferences. And several years ago, I felt impressed by the Lord that we needed to start equip people in places that we couldn't go. And so we created this online portal where people could learn to hear God's voice and be God's voice in their culture. Because I believe in every generation, God raises up new voices in the church that will be a voice to the generation. But I believe in this generation, He's raising up a generation that will be God's voice in the culture. And so my passion is not only to raise up people who hear God in the church, but actually Christians who hear God in their everyday life, that are teachers, that are educators, that are doctors, that are government leaders, that are construction workers. And when we learn to have the voice of the Lord in the culture, when we learn to think like God, we can change the culture.
That's amazing. How do they take the courses on the Future University?
Well, it's there are 4 modules, and they're each 6 weeks each. In each module, they sign up, they have a 6-week window to complete it. They can get an extension on that if they can't get it within 6 weeks, but it's 12 videos, 12 audios, 12 written teachings, and 12 study guides that go along with it. And with each lesson, there's 4 exercises that they can put into practice what they're learning. So we have students in different countries. We have groups of business people. They get together for their lunch once a month, and they go to the mall. They have lunch. They do their lesson together, and then they go and they practice in the mall, praying for the sick or giving someone a word, an encouraging word from God. And it's just doing what Paul said, follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And I think that's part of every Christian's right and privilege as believers in Christ.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Tell everybody what they should expect when they're reading your book, as far as what are you trying to unlock in them?
Well, the first thing I want to unlock is the understanding that heaven is not just a place where we go when we die, but it's actually a place that's actually available to us now. And that sounds spooky and ethereal, but really it's not, because when God created the earth, He first created the heaven. The Bible says he created the heavens and then the earth. And then he created man after that. Well, man was created to never die. So logically, God didn't create heaven as a place where we would go when we would die. He actually created it as a place where he could interact with us. And so if that was true before the fall, it's true after Christ. And in fact, Paul says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heaven. And then in Colossians 3, it says we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So I think an awareness that heaven is a place where God wants to interact with us through. And it doesn't necessarily mean we have to have visions of angels and harps. Those are great, and we see the Bible filled with visions of angels. But we actually have the ability to access God's mind, like Moses did. When he went up on the mountain, he literally went into heaven, was shown the tabernacle of heaven, and then God said, what you see in heaven, build it on earth. I believe that there are strategies, there are plans, there are things that God wants to show us that are available for us when we access this realm of the supernatural, this realm of God's way of thinking and building things, that we can actually build things on earth that are God's plan from heaven.
Hmm. Now, this is really heavy stuff.
Well, oh, it doesn't have to be heavy. Think of it this way. The Bible says that heaven is God's throne, right? So,
yes.
Like, I don't know about you, but I got my first man chair this year. I got my first recliner, okay? So it's the place where I love to watch television, where I interact with my kids, where I have my remote and I, you know, control what I see. And so the Bible says that heaven is God's throne. It's not his house where he lives, because nothing can contain him, but it's actually a place where he sits. Now, the analogy is, it's an earthly analogy, but it makes sense to me, because when I sit in my throne, my chair, my kids come up, they sit on my lap, they interact with me. If they want to ask me a question, I'm there, I make myself available to them. So in a very natural way, God is seated on his throne in heaven, and he invites us to interact with him through worship, through the exchange of thoughts. And so when I set my mind on things above, I actually become aware that I'm in the presence of God all the time. Not just at church when I'm worshiping, but I could be driving down the highway, you know, I-10, wherever you're at in Houston or whatever highway you're at there in Texas, and you could have terrible traffic, but when you become aware that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, you hear the voice of your Father. And it changes the way you even go through traffic on your way to work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Your attitude is not going to change. you're going to change your attitude for sure quickly.
Well, you know, a lot of people say you are who you really are when no one's looking.
True.
Right?
Yes.
But I happen to believe that you are who you really are when you know you're seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Wow, that's
because the person you really are is who you are in the presence of God. It's when you forget you're always in the presence of God that you sometimes act the wrong way, right?
Absolutely. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
I was saying that we concentrate on changing our actions all the time. But Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts and my ways aren't your ways, which means that thoughts actually precede ways. So if we change our thinking, we'll actually change our behavior, not the other way around.
That's very powerful. It makes you look at a whole different way of when you're thinking of the Lord and thinking of your time with him. And just before we brought you on the air, I was going with the thinking on God theme, thinking like heaven theme. And I was sharing, there's a lot of times that we don't know that we miss our time with God, but he's with us and we have to spend our time. We have to know that he's with us and spend our time worshiping him and our hearts and our minds. It's important that we get our time with God, and a lot of people feel guilty that they don't get those hours. Like I mentioned, that Billy Graham mentioned on TBN at one time, that when they asked if he can change anything, what would he change? And he said more time of reading the Word and spending time with his Heavenly Father. If anything, he can change in all his... That's Billy Graham. And so I know a lot of us get just as busy doing things. And so this actually reiterates that no matter where you're at, well, you're with God. You're seated in heavenly places. And your time with God is always being spent, but you just got to know in your mind that you're there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Bible says, set your heart or set your mind on things above. So there's what I call it is just like setting my attention towards something. So when I put my attention towards something, then I begin to become aware of it. When I become aware of it, I can access it. So it's always there. He's always there. Heaven's always there. But when I become aware of it, whether it's in worship in church, or whether it's sitting at my desk at my job, whether it's in a business meeting at a conference table, in that moment I have access to the solutions of God. Hmm. And I have stories in the book of people who, scientists in a lab, that set their heart on God, and God gives them solutions to scientific problems, and they come up with cures. George Washington Carver, who was a great scientist, said, "I never take any other book inside of my lab except for the Bible." And he always would set his heart on God and ask God to show him things as he went into that environment. So what if we had a generation that when they went to their job, they were aware that they were seated with Christ in heavenly places and they could access the solutions of God? We had teachers that were teaching our children who did so from the perspective of heaven. We had lawmakers making laws from the perspective of heaven. It's powerful, because if you change the thinking of culture, you can change culture. And we've seen it in history. We've seen it in the history of our country, where thinking has actually been changed about things. We're actually living in a generation, this younger generation, that is the most pro-life generation that it's been in the last 40 years. And the thinking of culture on issues of life is beginning to change. And we will see culture change. Within my lifetime, we'll see the issues of life, of the preborn and even the elderly, and the value of that life. We'll see that change in the culture, because we've begun to think like God in that way.
Now, would you say that if you're thinking like heaven early in your life, do you think you live a longer life?
Well, I guess, you know, for me as a person who thinks, where's the proof in that? I would say, well, that would take a long time to figure that out. So, you know, do we have statistics on that? But I would say you're definitely going to have a better quality of life if you're living like God wants you to live, if you're thinking like what God wants you to think. First of all, if I wake up every morning and think about myself the way God thinks about me, I'm not going to have a bad day, because God never looks at me and says, man, you're going to have a bad day today. He doesn't look at my messed up hair and say, man, your hair is a mess today. He looks at me and he sees Christ in me, because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. He looks at me and says, that's my boy, that's my son. And so if I just start one day at a time, I mean, and have a great day, I think, yeah, I will have a great rest of my life and probably live longer, because I'm thinking like God every single day. And for me, it's not just, you know, 20 years from now, what am I going to look like when I think like God? What can I accomplish? But each day, I set my mind on what he thinks about me, and what he wants to accomplish, and then the fruitfulness of heaven comes through my life. I think that's powerful.
That's awesome. We're talking to Bob Hazlett, Think Like Heaven, Change Your Thinking, Change Your World. Could you share out of your book, Chapter 6, The Power of the Redeemed Soul?
Wow. I mean, we could spend an hour talking about the power of the redeemed soul.
We got about 5 minutes, Bob.
here's the deal. Here's the deal. When man sinned, everything fell. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally, he fell. So his soul fell. He lost his ability to commune with God. He lost his ability to hear from heavenly perspective. His mind got twisted, and his imagination got turned in the wrong direction. But Jesus came to restore everything that was lost. David said, he restores my soul. And we see through Jesus the work on the cross that actually God came to restore our soul. In James, it says to receive the implanted living word of God that will restore your soul, that will sozo your soul. Your soul is just your ability to think, your mind. It's your ability to imagine, to see things that are in the unseen realm. And it's your ability to commune with God. So a redeemed soul allows us to commune with God sweeter. It allows us to see the unseen clearer. And it allows us to learn the things of God without the filters that our mind would sometimes have, beyond logic, to a place of just trust with him. So it's powerful. When that happens, we get to have experiences like Peter did in Acts chapter 10, where he had a trance, but it actually transferred into his relationships where the Gentiles were reached. And we see that even in the history of our world, people that had limitations put on their life, but when they got beyond the limitations of what people said about them, what they could do, and they learned to think like God thought, they actually became agents of change in the world. And I talk about a woman in my book Harriet Beecher Stowe. And that story is a powerful story of how Harriet Beecher Stowe had a vision in church one day and wrote the book Uncle Tom's Cabin. And she was a little girl who was told she could never be a voice for God, who in one day became a voice for God because she learned to think like heaven.
That is amazing, because a lot of people don't realize. I'm going to read this from your book, if you don't mind. It says, Jesus died to save your spirit, heal your body, and restore your soul. A restored soul is necessary for understanding the supernatural. It allows us to hear God's voice more clearly. That itself is very powerful in that statement there. Because a lot of people don't understand that our spirit's saved and that our soul needs to be restored.
Absolutely, and I want everything that Jesus paid for. So if he paid for me to be healed in my body, absolutely I want that. If he paid for me to have a whole mind, I want that. If he paid for me to be able to see the unseen, then I want that too. So everything Jesus paid for, I want. And the Bible says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heaven in Christ, but we haven't accessed it yet. So this book is not just about telling us what we have, but to help you to access what you've already been given. And many people are waiting for God to show up and give them something. And I believe God wants us to learn to access what we already have by going into that recliner, God's recliner, into daddy's chair, by getting ourselves seated with Christ in heavenly places, by daydreaming with God, by having visions with God that can literally not just restore our soul, but I believe has the power to transform culture.
Amen. Tell everybody how they can get the book.
Well, you can get the book on my website, bobhazlett.org. You can get the book on Amazon or your favorite Christian book retailer. Many opportunities out there. Plus, I'll be in the Houston area at the end of May doing a conference called The School of Power and Love, and I'll have the book with me. And that's at Praise Chapel, May 27th through the 30th. I'll be doing a conference that week, and I'll have that book with me as well. I'd love to meet many of you there.
Oh, absolutely. Also, just tell them your website. Tell them exactly if they need how to get information on your upcoming events and anything else coming up that you'd like to share.
Absolutely. You can just Google my name or go to my website, bobhazlett.org, and you can go to my online store with any of our resources, our online Future University, and join in on one of our modules and learn how to hear God's voice. We have a whole module that talks about getting the mind of Christ and having a redeemed imagination, a restored conscience, and a revived mind. So I believe that there's a lot of resources. Love to stay in touch with you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow us on all the social media outlets as well. And I look forward to meeting many of you that are listening.
Absolutely. Would you mind us closing us with a prayer, my brother?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, David.
Hey, not a problem. We enjoy you.
All right. Awesome. Bless you. Father, I thank you for this time together. Lord, I'm aware that there are people today that may be experiencing anxiety or fear, and I thank you that your perfect love casts out every fear today. May the overwhelming sense of your presence and the awareness of your love invade where they are right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, but the desire fulfilled is the tree of life, and I ask for hope to be released today that will take away disappointment, distractions, and desires that have gone unfulfilled, and that a new expectation would rise up in people that are listening right now. And God, I thank you for releasing the mind of Christ. I thank you for peace that passes understanding that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. And again, go to bobhazlett.org to get the book, and you'll really enjoy it. I've enjoyed my time with you. All right, brother, we'll talk to you later. God bless you.
You too. Thank you, David.
Thank
bless you.
Bye-bye. Amen. Wasn't that a wonderful guest? I tell you what, Whitaker is a blessing just to be in an association with them and help having their guests come on our show. It is great. Kathy Hicklin did another great job scouting us another winner from Whitaker, and we appreciate that. And I really encourage you to get this book. I know it's going to help you. I'm enjoying just going through it. I haven't been able to read it because I want to put my time into really studying and understanding it strongly, and I'm in the middle of something that I promised the Lord. I'm going to finish up my healing stuff that I need to get done, like I shared earlier. Either way, my friends, please go to Bob Hazlett, that's HAZLETT.org, and to get the book, visit us at midwatchwithrev.com. Let's see all our guests. If you missed an episode, we have it on Facebook and Twitter and places, so you can follow us at Twitter. I believe it's Midwatch with the Rev, Twitter / Midwatch. I think it's slash midwatch rev. I'm not sure. I'll have to get better on that stuff. You know I'm horrible at social media. My throat's really killing me, so I'm gonna let you go right now. God bless you. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back Thursday with another great guest. I think I have someone visiting from Australia that's going to come by the studio, so that's going to be a great show. You're not going to want to miss it. God bless. We'll be right. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch. Thanks, my guest, Mr. Bob Hazlett, for being on the show and being a part of it. Get his book, Thinking Like Him. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch. God bless.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.